Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers, and welcome back. It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
I am your co-host, Devin, the writer and editor of Channeling Spirits, with...
And I'm Heidi, and I talk.
At people in Channeling Spirits.
I'm the voice.
Yeah, and if you haven't followed us on social media, for Channeling Spirits may not know just what's going on. So just a brief synopsis of our personal lives. We moved.
Yay, moving.
We moved two cats, drove 11 hours in two cars.
I thought you were going to say we moved to Canada.
We
and I was like,
want
that's false.
To move to Canada.
I'd love to live in Canada.
The way things are going, maybe that would be a good idea to avoid World War III. But we are now in Chicago. Beautiful, snowy Chicago.
Yes.
And I thought it'd be apropos to do kind of a Chicago episode.
Oh.
So we watched Supernatural Season 2, Episode 6, which is called No Exit.
No Way Out.
Yeah.
No Way Out. What's that from?
I don't know.
The
what
producers.
Is that from?
Producers.
Oh.
Matthew Broderick version.
Oh. So if you're not familiar with Stranger Than Fiction, welcome. Pretty much what we do is we watch a show or a movie or some sort of media content. We discuss it. We talk about maybe some of the inaccuracies or misconceptions and what real life events inspired it. So with this, we're going to talk about H.H. Holmes.
Ooh.
A very well-known serial killer. And maybe we'll talk about whether he really is a serial killer. Dun, dun, dun.
What?
Yeah, we'll get there. That's something I want to bring up. I want to present you with some facts, some fiction, and we'll go over that. But before we go into that, we have to go over the episode of Supernatural regarding this alleged serial killer. And so we're going to go into
Heidi's dissection.
All right, so I took notes on this episode, and I want everyone to know that the title of my notes is Demon Ooze. That's just a brief little caption of how this episode was.
Demon news.
So it starts off with a girl in an apartment, sassy blonde girl, and she's on the phone and her lights are flickering. So spooky. And she's like, oh my God, like you said, this apartment was fine. What's going on?
Look, you promised this place would be ready when I moved in.
And now after watching the episode, I honestly have a lot of questions for the landlord, but I digress.
I want to know who she's talking to because it's like
I think it's the landlord.
Okay, but she's acting like he's gonna fix the maintenance, and like, wouldn't you have a maintenance guy?
Yeah,
and I don't think you want to speak that way to the maintenance guy.
So she goes over to her light switch, and she's like, "What the hell?
What the hell?"
And I sounded like the guy who does the shoes video. What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell?
She goes over to light switch, and there is ooze coming out. Black demon ooze, as I called it. I called it something else, but Devin didn't like that.
That's not family appropriate.
And she's like, what's happening? And then there's, she like looks through the light switch, and there's eyeballs looking back at her, and it's a jump scare. And then it pulls her into the light switch. I don't know, fingers
about the...
like come out of the grate. Lots of questions.
Yeah, we'll get there. I have a lot.
So, shifting now to the next scene, since that girl is presumably dead.
And just a heads up. So we had been trying to do Supernatural in a relatively like chronological order of release and focusing. We haven't even gone through season one. And so we've seen one and two, but they like do in the like previously on Supernatural that they had gone into a saloon and met the boys had met their dad's old friend, maybe lover, questionable, Ellen, the bar owner, and her daughter Joe.
Yeah, so Ellen and Joe are fighting, and because basically the daughter Joe is like, I want to be a demon hunter, and her mom's like, nah, that's not happening.
No, there's demon ooze.
Yeah, there's demon ooze. Pretty gross. And so Joe says, well, it's only blonde girls that are disappearing. And she's blonde, so.
Over the past 80 years, 6 women have vanished. All from the same building, all young blondes.
I didn't know why she made that point.
In this particular case.
So then the mom's like, no, you're not going. Too bad. And so Dean and Sam are like, okay, bye. So they go to Philly.
Philly! The adventure continues!
And they go into the apartment to examine, you know, what had happened and whatnot. And they find the demon news. And they discover that it's actually ectoplasm, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Dean makes a Stay Puft reference.
That's great.
Well, Sam, I think I know what we're dealing with here. It's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
What a nerd. And then Joe, the daughter, shows up. And she's like talking with the landlord and she's like, yeah, I want this apartment. And oh my God, Dean, you're here. It's so good to see you, honey. And she's like pretending that they're boyfriend and girlfriend. And he's like, yeah, no.
Okay.
And then so fast forward now, they're in the apartment. She gave him a wad of cash of like singles too. So
the like landlord, not Dean.
Yeah. Well,
and who knows what she's doing?
Fast forward, they're all sitting at the table looking at a map and she's like pointing out all this stuff and she's playing with a dagger. She's just twirling it in her hands, trying to be all BA. And she's not. She weighs like 80 pounds, you know, just, and her acting is awful.
That's right. I will. With pliers.
Awful, awful.
It's amazing.
So Dean gives her a speech about how it's nice to have a mom who's worrying about her. And she does this really bad acting where she's like looking up into his eyes. It was really awful. I couldn't. So then we shift to another girl who's in the same building, who is blonde, of course, because I feel like the landlord's in on this.
Maybe.
Because he's only letting blondes in.
You thought like the landlord was behind it.
Yeah. And so he's focusing on another blonde girl. So another blonde girl's, I don't know if she was talking on the phone or she was doing what. Oh, no, she was opening mail.
Yeah, for like a lingerie party or something.
Yeah.
I'm like,
then the ceiling starts cracking and then it just keeps cracking, cracking, cracking. And then she goes to like unlock her door and it's locked. So like, again, I said, did the demon do this? Did the landlord? Lots of questions at this point. Anyway, and her phone, of course, isn't working too. And the lights are flickering. And then she gets pulled into the grate. Lots of fingers come out of the grate and they're like blah blah blah.
But again, so
how does she fit in the grate?
Well,
hands barely fit in the grate.
So if he's a ghost, like, sure, he could become apparently corporeal and incorporeal at will, fine, but that doesn't mean you can like phase people through walls.
This isn't Harry Potter. You can't just apparate. Okay.
And it's not like at any point they're like, oh, this is the door that he takes them through. It's like, nope, now all of a sudden they're just vanished.
Yeah. So now Dean is back to hanging out with Joe, and he's like, here's a bigger dagger.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey-spoony before.
And she's like, the small dagger was my dad's.
Wah.
Yeah. And again, the acting here. I literally wrote, just acting is awful.
That's right.
Yeah, she's great.
So they discover that the building next door to the apartment where all of the blonde girls are disappearing happened to be a prison, and the building is was a field where people were murdered.
Hung. Yes.
Well, that is murdered.
Inmate. Well, that's a whole ethical quandary. But yeah, this field was where inmates were hung, and it was next to a prison.
Well hung. And so they discover somehow so they look up like the prison manifesto of like, okay, who was hung in this yard? And one of them happens to be H.H. Holmes. So yes. They were like, aha, it's clearly him, because who else would be murdering only blondes?
I understand, like, okay, so he's, because they talk about the fact that, like, in order to produce ectoplasm in this universe, you have to be, like, a substantially evil, powerful or malevolent spirit.
I mean, to make this stuff, you have to be one majorly pissed off spirit.
And I guess they just kind of put two and two of, like, well, the only one on this list that could have done that then, therefore, is H.H. Holmes, which is a stretch, but fine. Let's go with it.
Yeah. So They're like, haha, the ghost is, or the demon is H.H. Holmes. It's a ghost.
It's not a demon. It's a ghost.
I know. I was getting there. What I was wondering, though, if that's the case, then who built this booby trap of a building? Because they later go into a scene where they're walking through all these, like, hidden walls and stuff behind the apartments. So, like, who built the ghost of H.H. Holmes did not build this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and H.H. Holmes didn't even build his murder castle. So it's not like he was an evil architect, like...
evil architect.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. I get that they're trying to go with the fact that, like, oh, well, this is how he, like, killed his victims, allegedly... And therefore, then this building also has that, which doesn't make any sense because it was would have been built after his execution.
Yeah, which is why he's haunting that spot.
Yeah, so none of it really makes sense when you actually stop and think about it.
No.
As far as like how he got these girls into this torture dungeon, killer dungeon, why this was built, because this also takes place in Philadelphia and the murder castle was in Chicago. So it's not even like you could claim like, oh, well, he's haunting his old... Nope. That, no, it doesn't make sense.
So they're walking through these halls, these hidden walls, right?
Yeah, and they're like in between the hallway, the, like in the walls, I guess.
Yeah, they're in the walls walking through. And it gets to a point where it gets too slender. And of course, Jo, being the 80-pound little girl that she is like, I can keep going through. Dean, you stay here. And he's like, well, I don't really have a choice, so... Bye.
Yeah. I'll just let you go.
Also, what if H.H. Holmes just showed up in those walls? Because, like, he's a ghost. He's not bound by, like, physical limits. It's just interesting. And so then, of course, you know, Jo goes down this, like, really dark corridor and then, like, down below.
Yeah, she finds, like, and a then, hole. And,
yeah,
she's like, I'm just going to go down this hole. And Dean's like, no, stop, wait.
And so we find out that the wall starts oozing around her and she's like, oh, no. And of course, Dean is on the phone with her and he's like, what do you mean? Oh, no. And she's like, bye.
Ah.
And so then Dean gets out of the walls to start breaking the walls.
Yeah, he like runs downstairs and like he just has a sledgehammer, which... I wasn't paying attention, but I really hope he was just carrying that in the, like, inside the walls.
Right.
Just in case.
So he's breaking all the walls, and he finds her phone, Joe's phone, and he's like, Joe, where'd you go?
Which
she ain't dropped no Joe
her
no mo.
Phone, but not her flashlight. Just convenient item dropping.
It's true. So then Joe's mom, Ellen, is calling Dean, and she's like, where's my daughter? And he's like, yeah, she's here. And she's been taken by a ghost. Sorry.
Oops.
I'll get her back, though. And Ellen's like, I'm coming for you and your little dog, too. Nah. She just flies out.
Is Sammy the little dog?
Yes. Yeah, he is. He's a mooch.
He's kind of like a puppy.
I know. I love him. So cut to Jo laying down flat. And she just has her flashlight in her hand so she can look around conveniently.
Yeah.
And she's like, hello? Is anyone there? And then the girl who recently got taken, who we find out her name is Teresa, she's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm Teresa. And she's like, okay, well, we'll get out of here. I came to rescue you, but I failed. But I've got friends. And then, of course, the ghost of Holmes starts walking in. And she's like, oh, my gosh, it's fine. And then he decides to rip part of Joe's hair. He, like, they're in these, like,
coffin-type
things in the walls. Again, he's a ghost, like, whatever. And so he reaches through a grate and, like, rips her hair out.
Which, ow.
Oh, yeah. Ow is 100% correct. And also, he also, like, feels her up at one point. It was really uncomfortable. He's, like, feeling her arms. And he's like, you're so pretty.
You're so pretty.
So anyway, Sam and Dean go to the field. There's another field next door to this building, not to be confused with the field that the building was built on.
Which I was confused. Like, I was like, oh, are they looking for his body?
Yeah.
No.
So they go and they start digging, looking for his body, which out of this giant field, they dig in one spot and they happen to find
it. No. The
metal detector. Right. Fine.
Which I think they looked at some blueprints and found there was like a basement or something, which I guess led them to this field, which is how they got there. Now, I guess maybe the blueprints said it was made of metal and then therefore they knew to have a metal detector. Is that just sitting in the Impala?
Yeah, just in case. So they find that it's like a hatch. And so they go down into this hatch, which leads to the basement. And H.H. Holmes is there. He's feeling up Joe, like, you're so pretty. He's literally like, you're so pretty. And he starts like grabbing her arm. And so she turns and stabs him with her dad's magic dagger, which she happened to have on her.
Sure.
Yeah. Again, what? And then he starts to suffocate her. And Dean and Sam show up and shoot him.
With like rock salt from a shotgun.
Yeah. So it just like pushes him back temporarily. Yeah. And then they get Teresa out, they get Joe out, and Dean's like, hey, so you know how you wanted to come and be bait, and I said it was a bad idea? Well, now I'm going to have you do that because it's
the only option, I guess.
Remember when I said you being bait was a bad plan? Now it's kind of the only one we got.
Yeah. So Dean uses Joe as bait, so she's just sitting there. Again, bad choice, Dean, whatever. And so H.H. Holmes shows up and she jumps out and they make a circle of salt.
Yeah, I guess somehow.
Where did they set that up?
Unseen to the viewer, at some point they set up this contraption that would drop a ring of salt around
H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, H.H. Holmes when he's about to get Joe. So they shoot it, salt drops. And Joe ducks away and escapes, and Holmes starts screaming because apparently ghosts are aware of their weaknesses and know, like, not a ring of salt. Because if I was a ghost, I think I'd just be confused. Like, I don't think there's anyone that, like, in the afterlife explains, like, okay, so you're weak to iron and salt. And, so, like, don't touch those things. They'll hurt. Don't get trapped in a ring of it.
Right. So they decide to, well, how are we going to keep it down there forever? Because, like, what if the salt breaks from, like, a storm or something, the salt circle? And so Dean just shows up with a cement truck, and he's like, let's do this. And they fill the hatch up with the cement, therefore burying H.H. Holmes forever.
So, I mean, a different episode, a little bit more back to, like, the ghosts, which I feel like, in Supernatural, I feel like ghosts are kind of boring. I like a lot more when they go after like monsters. I think the demons later get overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you think? How many spirits would you give this episode?
You know, I'm always so harsh.
I
just
know.
Because I really did not like Joe, I give it a 4.
I'd give it a 5. And I'm not just trying to do the one up you. I genuinely okay. was like, this is like a it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I mean, I think it has some flaws, but I think there's some fun stuff, like the ectoplasm is fun. I think, you know, H.H. Holmes is interesting because it is kind of a more powerful spirit, if you will. But I often have problems with their ghost logic where it's not well established. And it's just like, well, sometimes they can touch you and interact and sometimes they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with the weaknesses of salt and iron. But again, like, how do they know that? How did he get her into this murder castle, torture in the walls?
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of those questions were like, you don't really want to think about those. You just kind of want to get lost to it.
Yeah.
So
also, a ring of salt is often shown in a lot of media as like something that's against like bad witches too.
It's a purifier. So I think it goes back to like kind of
it's about protection.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes a little bit back to like alchemy and some of like the basic fundamental things like that. But I'm fine that ghosts have weaknesses. I just don't always like that, like, well, sometimes they look exactly like a living person and then can touch you like a living person.
I can touch you
but
now.
But then sometimes their faces turn dead sometimes. I don't know. So ghosts aren't my favorite. I think they're kind of boring. But this one wasn't. It was okay.
I like the ghosts in Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, those are fun. All right, we're going to move on to Behind the Screams.
Ah!
Yeah, I knew you'd do it.
Yeah?
You had to. All right, so this episode debuted on November 2nd, 2006, as very evident from the Razor phone. Kids not aware of 2000, I think it was like 5 or 6 when it came out.
And it's back.
It is back, yeah. It's now gone so far that it's become nostalgic and they have brought it back. But I was like, yeah, Razor phone, I remember those.
I had mine and it was a hot pink one and I called it Magenta. That was her name.
That is
like from Rocky Horror.
I will just take your word that that's a character.
Yes.
All right, so this episode, No Exit, gets its name from a Jean-Paul Sartre play called No Exit, in which three people are trapped in a small room together in hell, only to discover that they are meant to act as each other's torturers.
Oh, that sounds awful.
It sounds like a great play, though. It's a really fun concept.
Yeah.
So I thought, fun little thing from an existentialist. This was written by Matt Winton. He would write two episodes, this one and another episode called Playthings for Supernatural.
Okay.
And he was also a producer for 12 episodes. I think like the 12 episodes of season two, but don't quote me on that one.
Quoting you on it.
This was directed by Kay Manners. We talked about him in when we did the episode Dead in the Water, when we were talking about Jenny Greenteeth,
yes,
if you remember.
I do.
And Kim did several episodes, did a lot of work on X-Files and some other stuff. Unfortunately, passed away pretty young. You want some more details? Listen to our other episodes. One of the blondes, I think the first one, is Andrea Brooks. And she... the character's name was Katie Burns, and if you're saying Teresa was the other blonde, I'm guessing that she was the first one, but she plays a character, Eve Tess Mercer, in Supergirl.
Oh.
It's, I haven't watched that, but
nor I.
I have standards. I'd watch it.
I know you would.
I like Superman. I like superhero shows. So, fans of Supergirl, you know, she had her start back in, or maybe not start, but she appeared in this for a brief little bit. One of the photographs that they showed as a victim of H.H. Holmes was not actually one that was one of his victims. It was a victim of Jack the Ripper.
Oh.
It was Elizabeth Stride, and she was killed in 1888. So there's this big theory that H.H. Holmes and Jack the Ripper are one and the same.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they were besties.
I mean, it's about as logical as I think calling them the same killer. And we'll talk a little bit about why I don't think they're the same and why Holmes is debatably not a serial killer. But I'll save that for a little bit. But pretty much handwriting samples from Holmes and the famous From Hell letter by Jack the Ripper, they have allegedly a 97% match. So it is kind of weird that the handwriting matches.
If the handwriting matches.
And pretty much other people think that Holmes was a medical student. I don't know if he got a full doctorate, but he did a lot of anatomy work. And there's a lot of theories that say the Jack the Ripper murders, because they were probably done almost surgically or very specifically when he was taking out certain organs.
That's interesting.
That it had to be done by someone who was pretty well versed with anatomy and maybe a medical or doctor.
Doctor.
And so there is also, I guess, this blind spot in kind of Holmes's history that a lot of the Jack the Ripper murders, or the ones that are pretty canonically done by Jack the Ripper or believed to be done, nobody really kind of knows what Holmes was doing. Why he would just fly over or take a boat over to, you'd have to take a boat over to England to murder a few prostitutes and then come back home.
Yeah, that doesn't sound viable.
There's also a lot of other things. I don't know if this photo of Elizabeth Stride was intentionally trying to connect those, that theory, or if it was just kind of like a, hey, that's a victim in the 1800s of a serial killer or a mass murderer. Let's just put it in. Don't think too much about it. But interesting little connection there. And lastly, as you mentioned, ectoplasm, they have a great line referencing Ghostbusters, which made me tremendously happy.
Yeah.
But ectoplasm's kind of interesting because, from what I recall, ectoplasm was like a substance that mediums would allegedly like excrete when conjuring or channeling spirits.
Hey.
And it was Ghostbusters that I believe kind of brought that to the common parlance, and also like attributed to like ectoplasm occurs when there's a spirit of substantial strength or energy. So they're clearly kind of going on that lore, but it was not black, not until the video game, but fun little line about Stay Puft, and it made me happy. You should watch it just for that.
You make me happy.
Oh, you make me happy. All right, so now I want to do something a little different. We're going to move on to
the truth.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
But I want to play. I want to play a game.
Nope.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
Okay.
So what we're gonna do is it's gonna be true or false.
Okay.
You're gonna try and guess the BS. So I'm going to tell you I don't want to say a fact, but a portion of Holmes's history.
Faith is a fact.
And you tell me if it's true or false.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So let's start with an easy one. His name was H.H. Holmes.
Correct.
False.
What?
It's in the episode.
Wasn't that H.H. Holmes' real name?
I
was too busy taking notes.
That's the name that they see when Sam is going through. His real birth name was Herman Webster Mudgett.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. Not doing so well. At the end, maybe I'm not going to keep track of how many you get right, but in the editing, I'll tally up a total. So he was said to be unusually intelligent at an early age. He expressed an interest in medicine, which reportedly led him to practice surgery on animals. Is that true or false?
True.
False.
I'm not doing well.
There are no eyewitness or historical reports of his childhood that mention him torturing animals. The idea or the common animal abuse that happens in serial killers like Dahmer and Bundy, that never happened with Holmes. So that's, some people have tried to like retroactively apply.
Like, if you hurt animals, you're a serial killer.
Yeah, like that can be an indicator of, you know, psychopathy or what may be a serial killer. But that there's no record of Holmes doing that. His father abused him, which may have led him to be a serial killer.
That's true.
False. Again, there's no reports of that. There's just more people like, oh, well, you know, if you're abused, then therefore you'll be a serial killer or something like that. Nope. Nothing of the sort. All right. He married his first wife when he was 17.
False.
True.
I knew that was going to happen.
Her name was Clara Loverine. And they had a son, Robert, who was born 3 years later when he was 20 years old.
Wow.
He killed his first wife.
Oh.
Is that true or false?
True.
False. I don't know if I'll need to do a counter because so far it's just all wrong.
I hate this.
Okay. No, this is great. This is great. So Holmes allegedly treated her violently and then she moved back to New Hampshire, but he did not kill her. Here's a story. Holmes poisoned a boy while working at a drugstore in Philadelphia. Is that true or false?
False.
Maybe true.
God.
So the boy died after taking medicine, which he purchased at the store that Holmes was working at. Holmes denied the involvement, but then immediately left the city. So he had also previously fled Moores Forks, New York, after a rumor spread after a boy had disappeared after being with Holmes, and Holmes pretty much claimed that the boy went back to his home in Massachusetts, but both are really suspicious that it's just like all of a sudden he just kind of peaced out, but who knows if the circumstances were really just violent and he fled for his own safety. I don't know. So that one's kind of a little bit of a mystery. I'll give you that one because no one really knows.
Okay.
Before moving to Chicago, he changed his name to Henry Howard Holmes to avoid being exposed for his scams and victims. True or false?
True.
That is true.
Haha.
Yep. 1866, Holmes killed his former medical school classmate, Robert Leacock, for insurance money. True or false?
Leacock. True.
False. So Holmes actually confessed to this murder when he was arrested, but Leacock actually died in 1889 in Waterford, Ontario, which would have been 3 years after he allegedly was killed.
Gotcha.
He killed his second wife, Myrta Belknap. True or false?
True.
False. he actually never finalized his divorce with Clara, his first wife. So technically,
well, he didn't have to because he killed her.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
remember he was violent with her, and then she moved away.
Sorry.
So then he couldn't like get a hold of her, and she may have been served papers for the divorce, but they never officially divorced. And so he was actually married to both women at the same time.
Naughty.
And then he had a daughter, Lucy, and they all actually lived in Wilmette, Illinois. Fun fact, Wilmette is where Fall Out Boy is from.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Did they murder people too?
Maybe. Maybe. Holmes built a murder castle.
Holmes built an apartment building in Chicago. They called it the Murder Castle.
False. He didn't build it. He had it built.
Okay. That's correct. Yes.
Aha.
I mean, it was built.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So he purchased an empty lot and constructed a two-story mixed-use building with apartments on the second floor and retail spaces on the first. All right, now, true or false, he used the murder castle to lure World's Fair guests into his hotel to kill them.
True.
He actually went to investors about adding a third floor to act as a hotel for the exposition, but that third floor was never completed. So kind of hard to lure people in the World's Fair when that hotel never happened.
Gotcha.
He sold skeletons of his murdered hotel victims. True or false?
True.
False. And this is a little bit of where people get a misconception about what he actually did.
The story goes that he didn't want anybody mutilating his corpse because, you know, it's what he used to do.
So in 1882, he entered the University of Michigan's Department of Medicine and Surgery, and he passed his exams. So he worked in the anatomy lab and did supposedly commit grave robbing to supply medical cadavers. And he also admitted to using cadavers to defraud life insurance companies, but it's not believed that these were any of his victims. They were just, you know, he just dug up bodies of people that were already dead for
whatever
means. But there's the story is that, oh, you know, he murdered people and then sold their skeletons or their remains. And that is not true.
Le false.
The murder castle had secret chambers, trap doors, gas chambers, soundproof rooms, and a basement crematorium.
The whole place was a death factory. They had trap doors, acid vats, quicklime pits.
True or false?
Correct.
False.
What?
Yep.
What?
This one really broke my heart because I totally thought this was true. But all of those claims were made up by yellow journalism, pretty much for sensational stories. So some stories say the hotel had over 100 rooms. It was laid out like a maze with doors opening to brick walls, windowless rooms, and dead-end staircases. Allegedly, there were hidden rooms, but the only hidden rooms he had were actually used to hide furniture, which he had bought on credit, and he didn't intend to pay for. So if someone came like looking and be like, no, you bought this couch, he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. But he never used those hidden rooms to secretly murder people.
Well, that's disappointing.
So the question, true or false, was anyone killed in the hotel?
Yes.
True.
Yes. His partner in crime.
His partner in crime?
Never mind.
Are you trying to read up? Are you cheating?
Never.
Get out of there. So he had a mistress, Julia Smythe, and a daughter, Julia. Pearl. Both
How
of
many
them,
kids does he have?
This was a mistress. Pearl was from Julia and another marriage or relationship.
Okay.
So this was what he, we'll get there. But they both mysteriously disappeared on Christmas Eve, 1891. It's believed that Julia died while having an abortion conducted on her by Holmes.
Oh.
And pretty much Pearl may have been poisoned to hide her mother's death. But if that's true, then Holmes didn't, I wouldn't say murdered her in the way that we often think of murder, if that makes sense. Pearl, maybe, but it's hard to say because nobody really knows what happened to them.
Hmm.
Emmeline Seargrand was another mistress who disappeared in December the following year. Minnie Williams was convinced by Holmes to sign over her property deed in Texas, and both her and her sister Annie were not seen alive after 1893. So, kind of like in Supernatural, Holmes did allegedly kill a lot of women.
And his victim flavor of choice? Pretty petite blondes.
But I don't believe that there was any sort of connective tissue, like they were all blondes or a certain type, or he was necessarily murdering them for enjoyment. A lot of this had to do, you know, either scams and maybe...
like insurance money and stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, the abortion, you know, might have been a whole separate case. So five people disappeared and were involved with Holmes in some way. And it's not totally clear, you know, what happened to them. But
didn't he admit to killing over 24 people?
Stop reading ahead.
No, I knew that.
Wikipedia.
I knew that.
Get out of here. All right. Next one. Holmes killed his third wife, Georgina Yolk. True or false?
False.
All right, you're on to me. Yeah, and he was also still married to Clara and Myrta.
What a hoe.
So he was married to three women at once.
That's illegal.
No, he just kept getting married, maybe under different names. So at this point, people started to catch on to him, so he went on the run to St. Louis, and he had a life insurance scheme with his right-hand man, Benjamin Pritzel. And pretty much the plan was for Pritzel to be killed and disfigured in a lab explosion.
Oh, jeez.
But Holmes was going to find a cadaver, but instead knocked Pritzel out with chloroform.
He used chloroform to kill him.
And then set him on fire.
Oh, my God.
So I would say he definitely killed that guy. But again, it was more for insurance money than it was
for... You still murdered someone.
Oh, well... So here's the multiple choice.
All right, so if I kill you for insurance money versus pleasure, it's fine.
I'm trying to make a case that he may not be a serial killer.
Okay.
So multiple choice. Holmes killed A, over 200 people, B, 27 people, C, 9 people, D, 1 person.
C.
You think 9 people.
9 people.
So he was put on trial and convicted for the murder of Benjamin Pritzel. And that's really the only one that we know for certain that, you know, the evidence supports this and he admitted to that. But he actually confessed to killing 27 people.
Yeah, he confessed to 27 murders, but some put the death toll at over 100.
But as I said before, some of them were still alive. So you can't really take some of that as fact. It's likely believed that the five he killed or possibly killed in the murder castle, Pritzel, and then three of his children were the victims of all of H.H. Holmes.
That's so sad.
And then my last one, true or false, he requested his coffin to contain cement and be buried 10 feet deep.
His body is buried in town, but it's encased in a couple tons of concrete.
I mean, that's what they said in Supernatural.
Well, they said a lot of things in Supernatural.
So we're going to say yes.
That is true.
Because he didn't want his body to be stolen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I pay attention.
So that was actually one of the things that they did get right. But, you know, they continued to perpetuate, you know, talking about, like, Sam even mentions, like, oh, it had gas chambers and this and that. And as we talked about, you know, clearly when Joe was being kept hostage behind the walls, they were trying to, you know, play off that idea, mm-hmm. but none of that is true.
So he wasn't like that at all?
No. So
it's just disappointing.
So for I Want to Believe. Now I'm a believer. My question to you is, do you think H.H. Holmes was a serial killer?
No.
Because I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is serial indicates a pattern, and you could argue that maybe the pattern was he was a scam artist who, you know, happened to defraud or kill people because of that.
He's a psycho killer.
But I think often that they have an MO, there is a type of person they're going after, and clearly, you know, he, you know, had some children that may have been victims, men, women, various reasons that they died or mysteriously disappeared. So I don't really buy that he's a serial killer.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think in Supernatural they say, like, they coined the term multiple killer.
The term multi-murderer. They coined it to describe Holmes. He was America's first serial killer before anybody knew what a serial killer was.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that is true, but I think that's probably the most accurate name for him. All right, my other question is, do you think H.H. Holmes was Jack the Ripper?
No. That's absurd.
I would love to hear some of that supporting evidence and, you know, hear like what other people think, like whether they do think that, you know, despite this, like, yes, Holmes did fit serial killer profile, and that they also think that he was Jack the Ripper. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
I think that's a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, yes, H.H. Holmes had a lot of female victims, but we're not even sure if he killed some of them. They were just kind of vanished. Nobody knows what happened to their bodies or what became of them. Jack the Ripper, he went after prostitutes. Their bodies were found. He seemed to kind of revel in the name and some of the fame. He wrote letters, you know, taunting the police. And none of that sounds like H.H. Holmes. And even if, you know, he evolved in, you know, during that time, he didn't carry on that.
Also, just from a traveling standpoint.
I mean, that's possible. As, you know, I said, like, there might have been, you know, a blank part in his history that nobody kind of really knows. I don't know if that's true. That's something that I found and didn't necessarily research hard into. But I don't think he's Jack the Ripper.
No.
I don't think he's a serial killer.
No.
Did I ruin H.H. Holmes for you?
Little bit.
I'm sorry. Well,
I mean, it's not like I was like, oh my God, this guy's so cool. You know, obviously he was.
I guess
but
I
now
always...
I see him as less of a monster.
Well,
and I mean, I'm just like, oh, you just killed some people. Whatever.
Yeah.
You didn't torture them.
I really thought that a lot of those, like, you know, like Joker having a vat of acid as a booby trap was rarely inspired by true events of H.H. Holmes.
Right?
And then you come to find out, oh, it's no more Pulp Fiction than anything else. It was just made up for him. That he didn't design this terrible, torturous hotel where he was luring World's Fair. No, like, the hotel wasn't even finished.
That's
like,
where, yeah.
The victims that he killed, he knew, and they weren't exposition guests. So it is just kind of a lot of the luster, I feel, is kind of gone. But
yeah.
I wanted to do this because that Murder Castle was in Chicago. And I thought it would be, you know, a good kind of way to, for us to talk about Chicago. It is no longer there. It is now a post office in Englewood.
Is it haunted?
I didn't look that up. There are, I think, like, a ghost show did an episode on, like, whether H.H. Holmes was haunting a Philadelphia area similar to this.
Oh, is that where he was buried?
Yes. So he was hung and executed in Philadelphia. So that is true in Supernatural.
All right.
I couldn't find a whole lot of evidence or a whole lot of, like, really good stories on the ghost of H.H. Holmes, so I kind of tried to focus more on his life and victims.
That's fair.
Because I don't definitively know if there is a whole lot on his ghost or supernatural activity involving him. And I also think it's always sometimes hard to prove, like, well, that's definitely the ghost of...
Jesus.
What? H.H. Holmes?
Yes.
So I'm curious what other people think. I'm sorry if I ruined everyone's perception of H.H. Holmes.
You didn't ruin it. I'm just like, what the hell?
Well, it's just one of those things that the myth has become more well known than the actual man.
I don't like it.
And, I don't like that he murdered people, whether it was insurance scam or not.
Yeah.
But let me know what your thoughts are. And we're gonna be in Chicago for a while, so
forever.
If you want to come visit us, we'll go and visit the Englewood post office, go see if it's haunted. Actually, I personally would not go to Englewood, but that's just me. All right, so we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Devin.
I'm Heidi.
And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.